The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. You know, there's one thing we all have in common in this country. We love to entertain. Whether it's a big reception or just a get-together with the folks next door, there's nothing we like better. Of course, if you're one of the millions of women who use genuine Johnson's wax when friends do drop in, you'll always have a home that's sparkling, clean, and bright, and something to be proud of. For example, that softly shining look on your wax-polished floors gives an immediate impression of charm and good taste. Your furniture glows with a delightful luster. Everywhere you look, you see things transformed by the magic touch of this wonderful wax. Picture frames and leather articles that gleam richly. Windowsills that aren't afraid of a sudden shower. And don't forget, there's less work attached to a house that's protected with Johnson's Wax. Just a light dusting maintains its shining beauty. Try it. Johnson's Wax, paste or liquid. Every man's home is his castle, so they say. And number 79, Wistful Vista, although not quite in the baronial class, nevertheless has its squire, Fibber McGee. And any time you pass number 79 and hear the windows rattling slightly and a low, nasty murmur coming out under the door, you'll know that the squire has received his monthly bank statement. And here he is, rapidly losing his equilibrium while trying to find his balance, while his wife does her best to drown him out as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly!
Those dirty double-crossing pocket-picking book jugglers. Hey, you know what that bank has done to me this month, Molly?
I can't imagine, dearie.
Well, they figures out my balance exactly the same as I figured it. Now I don't know where I am. I got nothing to go on. Say, I got a notion. Hey, can't you do that a little quieter, Molly?
I'm sorry, dearie.
Well, I'm trying very hard to concentrate on this bank statement, and that noise is very distracting. Very.
If your figures agree with the bank's, what is there to concentrate on?
Aha! Now, that's just the point. Anytime they agree with me, they've got to be wrong.
Oh, heavenly days. There must be better ways to waste a morning than bashing your brains against a bank full of bookkeepers. Those statements are...
Oh, I wouldn't say the morning was entirely wasted, Mrs. McGee. Look, I found three mistakes already.
Three mistakes? You have?
Sure. And I'm going to keep at it till I find one the bank's made. You know, those boys would try anything, and... Hey, what are you doing with my poker work outfit?
Is that what it is?
Certainly that's what that is. Don't you remember that tray I made you? You know, the one with the design I burned on it with that. You said it was the prettiest tray with that particular design in it that you ever saw.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, as long as I was cleaning out the hall cupboard, I merely thought that I'd put things away.
Well, be very careful with stuff like my poker work outfit. You know, one of these days that fat will come back at... You're what?
I'm cleaning out the hall cupboard. Mrs. Carstairs is coming for tea this afternoon, and I don't want her to wind up under an avalanche of stuffed birds, mandolins, and fishing rods.
Now, wait a minute, kiddo. If anybody's going to clean out that cupboard, it'll be me, see? I got a lot of valuable stuff in there. Now, listen, what did you do with my stamp collection?
Heavenly days, did you have a stamp collection in there?
Did I have a stamp collection in there, she says.
She said that.
Listen, Molly, Didn't you see a little celluloid envelope with a penny stamp on it that the cancellation was upside down onto it?
You had a collection of one penny stamp?
Well, it was a nukem of a collection. Gee whiz, a fellow's got to start someplace. Now, look, you better let me clean out that cupboard. Well, frankly, I don't think Carstairs coming to tea is a very good reason for it.
Well, do you want her to think that you married a bad housekeeper?
What that old gooseberry thinks is frantically unimportant to me, Mommy.
Well, I don't want her to think that I'm...
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mr. McGee.
Oh, hello, Alice.
Hello, Alice. Don't get in the way here, huh?
Jeepers. Are you cleaning out that cupboard? May I watch?
Sure. But don't touch anything here, Alice. I got a lot of personal valuables in there. I just don't want to get mauled around. Like this stuff here.
McGee, if that's what's been making this cupboard smell like a tannery, throw it out.
What? Throw out my old chemistry set? Well, I went right through high school with this stuff.
Oh, gee, did you really, Mr. McGee?
Yes, and I remember the day he did it, Alice. He went clean through the high school and through the roof of a laundry a block away. His eyebrows haven't quite grown back in yet. Look at him.
Yeah, well, I wish I could remember the formula I was working on that day. Let me see now. Yes, it seems to me I was on the track of a new kind of high-powered gasoline. That's right. I was going to call it Ethel in honor of my chemistry teacher, Ethel Fiditch.
Oh, but they've been making Ethel gasoline for years and years, Mr. McGee.
What? They have? Well, by George, if I had the money, I'd fight for my rights all through the children's courts.
Children's court?
That's right. I was just a kid when I invented it.
I think chemistry's wonderful, Mr. McGee.
You do?
My cousin's a chemist, and he's just patented a new kind of glue that simply won't stick to anything.
Well, what good is a glue that won't stick, Alice?
Oh, he says it'll teach people not to break things in the first place.
Oh, well, you know, it's simple stuff like that that makes fortunes for some people. Now, you take me. I stumbled onto a freezing compound one day that kept a bottle of water cold for 2 days.
What did you call it, McGee?
Ice.
Jeepers. I've been using it for years, and I never knew who thought it up.
And he never got a red penny from Sonia Heaney for it, either.
Say, you know, I got an idea I'm going to work on one of these days that'll put us all on Easy Street. And I'm not going to breathe it to a soul. Well, just except a few close friends.
Oh, what is it, Mr. McGee?
Well, shut the door, will you, Molly, please?
Okay.
Good. After what happened with that ethyl gasoline deal, I'm kind of suspicious. Well, I got reason to be. Now, listen, you know what they feed silkworms on to make them make silk?
Certainly. Mulberry leaves.
Now, did you ever think what might happen if you fed them on leaves from a rubber plant?
Jeepers. Girdles.
Exactly. Now, look. Not a word of it to anybody, see? You know those nylon people would shoot me down like a dog if it ever got out. But that's for the future. Right now, I gotta straighten out this cupboard. One side, kids, while I do this.
Up and then get this thing
cut. Well, I think that once you get this hall cupboard cleaned out, the house will look very nice.
Ah, it's a lot of wasted effort just to make an impression on that Mrs. Carstairs. Huh. That old man Trapp is so nearsighted. Say, Molly, do you know last week at the greengrocer's, she paid a dollar for her left hand, thinking it was a bunch of bananas.
Oh, you're exaggerating.
Yeah, I guess I am. She only paid half a dollar.
You know, McGee, you'd like Mrs. Carstairs if you'd stop antagonizing her.
Me stop antagonizing her?
Uh-huh.
Huh. You got the slipcover on the wrong love seat, Mummy. She antagonizes me. You know, she looks at me like I was something unpleasant she just found in her sandwich.
Well, my goodness, I don't think that she's... Come in. Oh, it's Dr. Gamble.
Yeah, I recognize him.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Molly. Hello there, Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpel what skin?
Rumpelstiltskin. A legendary character like you.
Oh, thanks.
Excuse the look of the place, Doctor. McGee's cleaning out this hall cupboard.
Voluntarily? Or did you get in a health inspector?
Well, how do you like that, Molly? Huh. As the trout says when he snapped at the fly, I'm doing this on my own hook. And don't get in my way, chum. See, I'm busy. Now get off the road.
Well, interesting evidence on misspent life you have there, chubby. Where'd you get the school bells? Christmas present from Mr. Chips?
Those are Swiss bells, Doctor. He used those when he was in vaudeville. Play something for the Dr. McGee.
He wouldn't appreciate it, or I would. You know, Doc has got less music in him than a wet drum.
As usual, beanbag, you're speaking from the depths of your abysmal ignorance.
Oh, do tell, do tell.
I was seriously considering an operatic career at one time.
My goodness, were you really, Doctor? Tenor or baritone?
You sang second base with a baseball team, didn't you, Doc?
I refuse to be drawn into a musical controversy with you, you illiterate. You're the type who'd sit through a movie three times to hear Spike Jones play the Hawaiian war chant on a washboard and auto horn.
You're darn well right, I would, chum. Now that's real music.
Huh. See what I mean, Molly?
Mm-hmm.
Every time he mentions the sextet from Lucia, he asks if you'll pardon the expression. Remind me to sing for you sometime, my dear.
Oh, I will, Doctor. I will indeed.
Sure. How about something from Ada, Doctor?
Hmm?
Ada. She loves Ada.
From whom?
Ada, you dumbbell. That's an opera.
Are you by any chance referring to the opera Aida by Verdi?
Oh, do tell, do tell. Yes, yes, yes.
First presented in Cairo, Egypt, December 24, 1871.
I think that's what he means, Doctor.
I think so. If you'll excuse me, I'll get out of here before I lose what little respect I have left for the little music lover.
Oh, I just been kidding, Doc. I know my music. I didn't study the mandolin for 25 years for nothing, you know.
That's one man's opinion.
He really knows more about music than you think, Doctor.
If he knows any music, it's more than I think. Let me ask you one question, Rigoletto.
Shoot, Siegfried.
What is counterpoint?
Counterpoint? Huh, that's easy. That's when a kid in a sweet shop asks how many of these do you get for a penny.
That's all, brother. So long, Molly.
Well, for goodness sake, McGee, I don't know why you have to tease people like that. Why do you pretend to be so ignorant?
Oh, I like to be underestimated. Then when I do something intelligent, I get twice the credit. Well, I better get busy anyhow with this cover here.
McGee, I do wish you'd get rid of that old bird.
I will after she has her tea. You know, it won't be polite to give her the air the minute she gets here.
I was not referring to Mrs. Carstairs.
Oh.
I meant that one on the cupboard there.
Oh, well, I still think it would look great over the fireplace.
I think it'd look better in the fireplace. It's such a... Oh, my goodness. Oh, McGee, I almost forgot.
What's the matter?
We're practically out of sugar. I wonder if Mr. Sale will send some over right away.
Well, I'll go and call him and ask him. You know, he owes me a favor.
For what?
Well, I called his attention to a misspelled word in one of his ads last week. He had an L in salmon.
Oh. Well, phone him anyway.
Okay. Hand me the phone, will you?
Here.
Good. Thanks. Hello, Exchange. Give me Jimmy Sales' groove. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? Tis? What say, Mert? Your brother. Judge gave him 20 years, huh? Huh. That's great, Mert.
Good heavens, McGee, what's great about that?
Well, Mert's brother helped old Judge Jeffrey husk some green corn. Did such a good job, the judge gave him 20 years. What say, Mert? Yeah? Okie doke. Yeah, I'll phone later. No answer. She said I didn't tell it right.
Well, perhaps we can squeeze by with what sugar we have, dearie.
You know, Carstairs oughtn't to use sugar anyway. She shows every lump she's ever eaten. Particularly around the...
Hello, people. I was just going by and... Oh.
Oh, darn it. Now, look what you've done. Watch your step, will you, Junior? Now, look at all this mess here.
Oh, I'm sorry, pal. I'm sorry. Very clumsy of me. What did I step on?
Oh, just an old cigar box, Mr. Wilcox. Think nothing of it.
What do you mean, just an old cigar box? Say, do you know what I was saving that for?
No. What were you saving it for?
Well, I don't remember right now. But I'll bet I had a definite use for it.
Well, excuse me for pointing, chum, but just what are you doing there, playing shop?
He's cleaning out this cupboard, Mr. Wilcox. Mrs. Carstairs is coming for tea, and we want things to look nice.
Yeah, she's the kind of old Snoopy puss that'll be poking her snazala into all the cupboards, Junior. You know the type. Talking about the weather with one hand and counting the pillow slips with the other.
Now, just a minute. I think you got her all wrong. Mrs. Carstairs is a very nice person.
That's what I keep telling him, Mr. Wilcox. But they don't just seem to get along together.
Ah, fiddlesticks, Molly. She's just a wilted petal off the Mayflower. She's one of the worst old... What are you doing, Junior?
Oh, just looking around in this cupboard, pal. I never saw it empty before, and I wanted to satisfy my curiosity.
Curiosity about what, Mr. Wilcox?
The floor in that cupboard, Molly. Gee, it's wonderful. In spite of all that junk that's piled in there year after year, the floor is in wonderful condition. What did you protect it with?
Waxy. If I wasn't a truthful fellow with whom loyalty to a sponsor was a prime consideration, I could break your little heart.
But we have to tell the truth, Mr. Wilcox. Johnson's wax it is.
I knew it. You know, I'd like to have a photograph of that cupboard floor. You throw travel cases in there. You toss in horseshoes and ice skates. You knock it with golf clubs and coal scuttles. You heave in a lot of fishing tackle, shotguns and mandolins. And look at it. Hardly a scratch. What a perfect example of how Johnson's wax protects and preserves a wood surface.
Look at him, Molly. Look at his eyes flash. I'll bet Balboa looked just like that when he discovered the Panama Canal.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful floor. What luster. What a tactile delight to rub one's digits over such a luminescent patina.
What on earth is the man talking about?
Yeah, Molly's the guest room made up. You know, perhaps he'd better lie down a little while. You feel all right, Junior?
Oh, I feel marvelous, pal, marvelous. Oh, what a day in my life. To have everything I've ever said about Johnson's wax so completely justified, so marvelously exemplified, its qualities of beautification, preservation, protection. Oh, I've got to write to Johnson's about this. See you later, folks.
Molly, there goes the greatest ham actor since the Three Little Pigs. Fact is, he's so hammy, he uses mustard-flavored shaving cream.
Why, I thought he sounded very sincere, McGee.
Oh, he meant it all right. But it was those gestures that threw me. Those rolling eyes, clenched hands and forehead. Like Hopalong Cassidy saying farewell to his favorite horse.
Well, never mind him, McGee. Mrs. Carstairs will be here very shortly. You better get this stuff put away.
Okay, I'll have it out of the way in two ticks. Now, let's see. Oh, gee. Hey, look what I found.
What?
My old camp stove. Boy, I'd like to have a dollar for every pound of bacon I've ruined on that thing.
Well, speaking of stoves, dearie, I'd better see how Beulah's coming with the refreshments. Oh, Beulah! Beulah! Company ball for Beulah!
Yes, Mrs. McGee was just wondering if you were all set for the tea clutch, Beulah.
Yes, sir. Everything is 6-2 and even, sir. Best china laid out, cake all frosted, silverware polished, and the napkin starched like your grandfather's collar.
Well, you see, we want to sort of turn on a spread for Mrs. Carstairs, Beulah. Now, send the lady fingers out for a manicure if necessary. And see if the seams are all straight on the tea cozy.
You just leave everything to Beulah, folks. Everything's going to be done with finesse, eclat, and several things. Genesee pop,
Je ne sais quoi?
Je ne sais pas, ma'am. That's a French expression meaning, you think I'm kidding?
You really speak French, Bueller?
Just enough to get by with folks who don't speak it at all, sir. I tried to learn it once by photograph record, but there was such a bad rattle in the speaker, so I never know if my accent is wrong, vocally or mechanically.
Mr. McGee tried to learn Spanish that way once, Bueller.
Have any luck with it, sir?
No. Took 5 lessons, then tried to order dinner in a Spanish restaurant. The cloak girl slapped me, the waiter gave me an apron, and the cashier handed over all her money and called the cops. No, I guess I'm strictly a Latin from Manhattan.
He get his face lit. The waiter handed him a Latin from Manhattan.
McGee, I just looked into that hall cupboard, and I want to congratulate you. It looks wonderful.
Oh, it's nothing that any red-blooded boy wouldn't have done. If his wife kept hollering about it. how's his shirt look, Molly?
Well, it'll be very nice when you put a tie on.
A tie? Hey, this is a sports shirt. Didn't you see that picture of Bob Hope in last night's paper? He was wearing a shirt exactly like this one.
Yes, but McGee, Bob Hope is a comedian. You're more the Herbert Marshall type.
By George, I think I am at that. Yes, sir. Does Herbert Marshall wear a bow or a tie? Because Hey, too late for a necktie. Hey, if you can casually drop Bob Hope in the conversation, listen, I'll explain about the sports shirt.
You just forget it, dearie. Let her take you as you darned well are.
Oh, my gosh.
Come in. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Carstairs? Do come in.
How do you do, my dear? So nice of you to have me for tea.
Hiya, Costi. Wriggle out of the mink and toss the weary frame in an orange crate.
Good day, Mr. McGee. Am I to construe that bit of jargon as an invitation to be seated?
I don't mean nothing else, Costi. Now look, try this chair over here. You can sink down in that like a sow in a swamp.
I can't hear. Oh, that is well. Just let me take your coat, Mrs. Carstairs, and I'll hang it up for you.
Oh, thank you, my dear. It's getting almost too warm for the fur coat.
Oh, and what a lovely fur coat it is, Mrs. Carstairs. It's sable, isn't it? Oh, what beautiful furs.
Yes, I trapped them myself, you know.
You trapped them?
Yes, my husband talks in his sleep.
Oh, well. Anyway, Mrs. Carstairs, I'll just hang up this coat of yours. I'll hang it right here in the hall cupboard.
Hey, look out! Hey, don't open that. That's, Oh, yes. I forgot. It's all right. My gosh, I'm not used to this yet. Go ahead and open it. Go on.
He's joking, Mrs. Carstairs. He's always kidding me about this hall cupboard being too full of everything.
Well, I'm sure it looks very neat, my dear. You're evidently an excellent housekeeper.
Oh, I sometimes think that I'm almost too fussy.
I sometimes think so myself.
Well, it was so nice of you to come over, Mrs. Carstairs.
You know, I've been looking forward to it, my dear. I think afternoon tea is such a pleasant custom. We English do these things so well, you know.
Yeah, but I bet it gets monotonous day after day, Carstairs. 3 or 4 weeks of it, and I'd run out of small talk.
I rather doubt that. Mr. McGee, the longer I know you, the smaller your talk seems to get.
You're not just saying that because you admire me, are you, Carsty?
I rather doubt that my statement was motivated by any such consideration, Mr. McGee.
Well, you're not such a bad kid yourself. Have a cigarette?
Thank you, I don't smoke.
Neither do I, Mrs. Carstairs.
Well, that needn't stop you kids from picking up a few packets for the old man, you know, now and then.
Mr. McGee, are you sure that we're not keeping you from some important masculine affair?
No, no. I got nothing particular to do, Carsey.
This is a charming little living room of yours, Mrs. McGee. And may I say, that is an extremely handsome piano you have.
Well, thank you. I think very highly of that piano.
Sure, I gave it to her for Christmas 8 years ago, Carsey. I just happened to be walking through the Bon Ton department store, see? Thinking about nothing in particular.
Naturally.
And then I saw this piano. So I says to myself,
Excuse me a minute, Mrs. Carstairs. Come in.
Hello there, Mrs. McGee.
Hi, Mr. McGee.
Hello, Jimmy, my boy. Here's your check. Got all made out.
Thanks a lot. Here's the receipt.
Okie doke.
How are the wife and family, Jimmy?
Oh, just great, thanks, Mrs. McGee. My little girl was 8 years old yesterday.
She was 8 years old. Now the time certainly flies, doesn't it, kid?
Yeah, you know she was born just a few months after you bought the piano?
Yes, yes, she must have been if she's 8 years old now.
You know, Mr. McGee, you're going to have that thing paid for before you know it. Well, thanks a lot, Pete. We'll see you next week.
Well, now then, what were we talking about?
You were saying that Mr. McGee gave you this piano as a Christmas gift 8 years ago. It was so thoughtful of him to make it a weekly remembrance. my dear, I would like to see the rest of your home.
Sure, sure. Come right along. It may not be a palace, but it's home.
Yes, do come and see it, Mrs. Carstairs.
Thank you.
Now, this is the dining room in here.
Yeah, you can tell that by the table. Now, this table seats 12 people when we put the extra leaves in, Carsty. Only thing is, we haven't got any extra leaves. I use them to make some shelves in the garage.
Interesting. Personally, I think large parties are such a bore.
Oh, you're just self-conscious, Carsty.
And right through here into the kitchen. Mrs. Carstairs.
Something you wanted, ma'am?
No, thanks, Beulah. Just give him Carsty the Pioneer Tour. That's
oh, good afternoon, Beulah. Good afternoon, Mrs. Carstairs.
You can take the tea things in any time, Beulah.
Coming right up, ma'am.
What a cozy little kitchen, Mrs. McGee. So convenient.
Oh, it's great for a small family like us, Carsty. Now you can build yourself a 5-decker Dagwood sandwich and open a bottle of beer without walking 5 acres.
Really? And that, I suppose, is the service porch through that door, Mrs. McGee?
Next door? Oh, no, this is just the back stairs, Mrs. Carstairs. You see, it's just...
Hey, don't open that!
What's the matter with you?
That's why I put all that...
Why is it that some homes seem to have so much more charm than others? Is it because of more expensive furnishings? Well, not as a rule. It's a matter of good taste and good housekeeping, in which richly polished floors and other surfaces play a very important part. Floors that are regularly waxed with Johnson's wax become more and more beautiful. They set off your furnishings to best advantage. There are many other uses for Johnson's wax in a well-groomed home, picture frames, ornaments, windowsills, even the fireplace and the andirons. And of course you know that the tough film of wax protects all of these surfaces from wear, dirt, and moisture. Also that it saves you hours of housekeeping work, because wax surfaces are so easy to keep clean. Careful housekeepers call this protective housekeeping, a protection that genuine Johnson's wax has given to floors and fine furniture for over 60 years. Johnson's wax in paste or the liquid form, especially developed for use on furniture and woodwork.
How long did Carstairs stay after I left, Molly?
All about 3 cups and 6 crumpets. But what made you leave in such a hurry?
Now, look, Mommy. When a woman like Carsty takes my own mandolin back in the living room and starts playing Tea for Two on it, I can take a hint. I don't have to be hit with a brickbat, you know.
No. Although I'll admit that the idea crossed my mind.
What? Oh. Good night.
Good night, all.
And this is Reg Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry and inviting you to be with us again next week, same time, same station. Good night.